We are going to have, we are going for a royal treat this morning. We're going to have Pastor Delvon. He's going to come and give us a word. Let's give him a hand as Pastor comes.
Thank you so much for this wonderful invitation, for Anthony, allowing me to preach. It's a privilege for me to be here in the house of God, and we're going to do the Word of God. I've been preaching a lot in Spanish. In a while, I haven't preached in English. So if you need translation, let God help you. Hallelujah. I believe the Holy Ghost can help us. I want to read out the book of Acts, chapter 4. And I'm going to launch my sermon with a quote. Somebody said these profound words: your story is the key that would unlock, or that can unlock, someone else's prison. Your story is the key that can unlock someone else's prison. In this story, or the text that we're going to read, we are going to read about the story of the disciples. They had been with Jesus, and they had a testimony. They had a story of their own. In their story, God used to preach to a dying generation, and it was their testimony, their story, that brought about a supernatural revival in their day and age. And I believe we're about to step into a supernatural moment ourselves. Can you say amen? I believe it. I believe it with all of my heart. I believe the Word of God that we've been hearing with our pastors, and I believe God speaking to us through prophecy, His Word. And so I'm going to encourage you this morning out of the book of Acts, chapter 4. We're going to read a few verses, verse 18. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have been seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. Father, I pray by the blood that you will meet with us this morning. I thank you for every man that came into this service. I pray that you will anoint my mouth with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. God, let it be more than just a gathering or a breakfast together. Let the Spirit of the living God come this morning. Anoint this place, God. Let it be holy ground. And I pray that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit so we can be a witness to a dying generation. I want to think about what Peter and John says in our scripture. And the Bible says that they say the things which we have seen and heard. So the book of Acts chapter 4 is a story that actually began in chapter 3. If you remember this story, Peter and John, they're going to the temple to pray. The Bible says they are met with a need. A man that was at the gate, he was sick, he was lame. And the Bible says that Peter and John pray for this man, and this man receives a supernatural miracle. The Bible says God heals this man. And a lot of people were excited because of that miracle, but we know through the scriptures that not everybody was excited in a positive way. The Bible says that the devil instigated trouble, and the religious people of the day and age, they began to threaten now the disciples. And that's where we literally come in. In chapter 4, we find that the religious people that we know that were inspired by hell, they begin to threaten the apostles to not speak, to not witness about the name of Jesus. And in our scripture, Peter and John, they respond in a very profound way. Verse 19, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. Verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things which have seen and heard. So think about this. The devil threatens the disciples, tells them, you need to shut your mouth. But the disciples, they make a profound statement. They said, we have seen too much by now. We have been with Jesus. In other words, this is not just a religion. This is not just theory. This is not just some lectures. We have been encountered with the supernatural power of the living God. And I believe that teaches us something this morning, because we know that the disciples, when they walked with Jesus, they were exposed to miracles. They were exposed to signs and wonders. They were exposed to Jesus feeding the thousands of people. They were exposed to Jesus healing the sick. They were exposed to Jesus raising people from the dead. So obviously, when we come to the book of Acts, we know that this made a revolution to them. This was supernatural. These men now, they have seen the power of the living God, and now they are a witness. Not because they went to some Bible studies. It wasn't just because they were taught some lectures. Their lives were turned upside down. They were bound by their sins. They were just completely lost. Now they're met with Jesus. Now they see that Jesus is not just a prophet. He's God in the flesh. He's supernatural. He's healing people. He's setting people free. And now the disciples, they know that what they have seen, it was something that only God could do. Now, if we bring that thought this morning to us, we understand that thought if we are saved. Can you say amen? We have seen ourselves miracles. If you are born again today, no matter how long you've been a Christian for, you and I, we have been exposed to the supernatural power of the living God. God has given us our own testimonies. God has exposed us, all of us, to healing power personally, or seen it with friends. We've seen salvations. We literally can identify with what Peter and John are saying here. We have seen too much. We have seen the glory of the living God, and that, I believe, it is something that God in His mercy allows us to see. Yes, to help us, but also to give us a foundation for a testimony. It was like the children of Israel. They were exposed to the Red Sea. God did a miracle. And God gave the children of Israel miracles. And God told the children of Israel, don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget when I opened that Red Sea. Don't ever forget the miracle power that when you were dying in your sin, in the wilderness, God gave you supernatural provision. And we understand that God called His own people not to forget. Why? Because we've seen the glory of God. As a matter of fact, in the book of Joshua, we know that the children of Israel, they're about to step into the promised land. We know that by now Moses is gone. Joshua is being the leader. The Bible says they come now into the Jordan River. And the Bible says that God supernaturally opens the waters. But we find something profound in that story. We come to Joshua 4. The New Living Translation says in verse 4, so Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel, and he told them, go into the middle of the Jordan, in the front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up a stone and carry it on your shoulders, 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And we will use these stones, listen to this, to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. So these stones will stand as a memorial amongst the people of Israel forever. This is powerful. God is doing miracles. And God says, don't forget those miracles. Make a memorial out of this. In other words, this is more than just information. And this is the danger. As we go through our Christianity, we're exposed to so much, but we don't many times understand that what we see is Holy Ghost. What we're a part of as a church is powerful. We see miracles. We see salvation. So that brings me to our place as Christians, because Peter and John make a profound statement. Verse 20, they said to the crowd, "For we cannot but speak the things which have seen and heard." We see miracles, so what do we do with this? We tell the world that Jesus is powerful. We tell the world, a dying world, a religious world, a world that is jacked up. Listen, we've seen Jesus. We have been with Jesus. Now we have a message to declare. Even, listen to this, in the midst of being threatened. I don't have much time, but you understand the story. Verse 17, the verse before, they were threatened, they were beaten. Don't speak about Jesus. But the disciples didn't care about the threat. Why? Because they had been with God. This was more than just theory to them. This was supernatural. And I want to tell you that this right here is Christianity. Christianity is more than just acting religious, learning a few things, becoming a better person, being a good person. Christianity is a lifestyle where God will come and change you and give you a revolution. And that revolution will shake you so much in your life that no matter what the devil throws to you, you will stand and face the world and tell the world, "I have a message to declare. And I don't have to be a pastor to preach the gospel. I have been with Jesus." Thank God for pastors. Can you say amen? And evangelists and all of the offices of the ministry. But listen, to preach the gospel is our duty. As believers, as people that have been with Christ, can you say amen? And no matter if the devil will threaten you, that he will. The devil will throw religious people. People will threaten you. You know what? You can't talk about you. Oh, you're too radical. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Some people get offended by that. You know, some people, they're calling me radical. That's a privilege. I'd rather be radical for Jesus Christ than for the devil and burn in hell forever. Before, we were radical and stupid for the devil. We were drunks, high up out of our minds. We were perverted. We didn't know. We didn't care. We didn't have no shame. Now we're in Christ. We have been with Jesus. And now we have a message to declare. The Bible says that in the same chapter, Acts chapter 4, verse 29, that things are heating up here. The disciples are being threatened, and they begin to pray. Listen to this prayer. Verse 29, "Now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place that they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So no matter what threat the devil sent them, they were not shut up. They were not put in a prison. They said, "We have a message to declare." I want to declare something to you. This should define our lives as Christians, as a church, and it does define us. Can you say amen? Evangelism is more than just an event. Evangelism is a lifestyle. Evangelism is where you have been with Jesus, and now you have a message to declare. And this is biblical. As a matter of fact, we know that in the New Testament, when people had an encounter with Jesus, Jesus literally compelled them to go and tell the world. Mark chapter 5, we find the story of a man that was completely demon-possessed. The Bible says God heals them. He delivers them. And the interesting thing about the story is that this man wants to follow Jesus. And Jesus says to this man in Mark 5:19, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. That scripture has always encouraged me. He had an encounter with God. And Jesus says, now go and tell people. Don't keep that miracle to yourself. Are you with me? This is something that should define us. Even in the midst of resistance, like the text says, they were threatened, they were beaten. But Peter and John says, you know what? What we know is powerful. What we know changes lives. What we know raises men from the dead, even though they have been dead for 4 days, Lazarus. And we've seen that. And we want to share it with the world. The other day, we're in an outreach on a Saturday. I knock on the door. This lady opens the door, and immediately my spirit, I said, oh boy, here we go. Her spirit with my spirit didn't kind of click, you know? So I said, hey, I want to give you a flower. I'm an atheist. She's manifest, breathing, you know, yelling. What do you think, dude? You're possessed. Whatever, you know, she's had tea, and she, before she shuts the door on my face, she said, and Jesus is not real. And right when she's going to shut the door, I said, yes, it is, man. I have tasted it. Have a good day. God bless you. Hallelujah. I didn't lose my, I didn't threaten, I'm not going to go to hell. No, I didn't do that. But you're not going to tell me that Jesus is not real. You ain't going to tell me that. You can scream at me all you want. But I know my God is real because he's changed my life. He has healed my marriage and my family. And I've seen miracles. And because of that, I have to tell a dying world that he is real. Psalm 71:15. I will tell everyone about your righteousness all day long. I will proclaim your saving power. Here's an individual who had an encounter with God, and he says, I'm going to tell the world, I'm going to tell everyone. Why? Because I cannot just keep it to myself. Now, something that has caught my attention in this scripture is this. Peter said, and John said, we have seen and heard. They had seen and heard so much. In other words, they're saying, we have a treasure here to share. And I want to declare to you that every one of us, we can testify to that. Listen to me. I believe that I have the mind of God on this. The devil will try to tell you, you don't know jack. You're just too new in the church. You don't have education. But listen to me. You don't need to know much. All you need to know is Jesus. As a matter of fact, we do know these men were unlearned men. They were not, you know, the top of the society. But Jesus is not looking for the professionals. Thank God for the professionals. Listen, I pray God give us souls. I don't care who they are. But I want to tell you something. The devil is a liar. He'll tell you, you have nothing to declare. They had everything to declare. And even if you're a newcomer, how do we know that? Because the Bible teaches us this. John chapter 5, Jesus said, has an encounter with a woman, a Samaritan woman. The Bible says that, she's met with Jesus. Jesus gives her a miracle. And we learn out of her story. She was a newcomer, man. She didn't serve God for too long. The Bible says in verse 39 of John 4, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman said to them, here's a woman, she has an encounter with God, she was immoral. She's like, man, this guy is telling me everything like that. She goes to her village, and the Bible says she has revival in her village. Why? Because she had an encounter with Jesus. Now, she didn't know much, but what she knew was enough. And what you know is enough, friends. We've been exposed to the best ministry in the planet. We come to conferences, revival. We have Holy Ghost preaching every service. Trust me, I come from other places. I'm telling you, and the devil many times will try to tell you, shut it, listen, this is a lie from hell. You have so much to give to a world that is dying. Very quickly, and I'm going to say this in passing by, the apostles make a profound reference in number 19. Literally, the New Living Translation puts it a better way, I believe, to understand it. But Peter and John replied, "Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him?" In other words, they're being told, don't preach, shut your mouth, don't talk about this. And Peter and John says, you know what? We have a duty to fulfill. We're going to obey God. Witnessing is a call to obedience to the living King. Hallelujah. It's not just a job. I have to know, friend. But it's a call. It's a high calling. Paul said, woe to me if I don't tell the world what God has done for my life. Are you with me? Are you with me? I hope they're not falling asleep on me. I know you had a lot of food. Hallelujah. I'm trying to give you spiritual food. I want to close quickly with advancing God's kingdom. There are two dimensions that happen in our text. One of them, the Bible tells us that souls were saved. Verse 21 of our text, they all glorify God for what they have, what have been done. All. It's like there was a multitude. We don't know how many. We kind of have an idea and we'll get to that in a minute. But the Bible says there was a lot of people there. And John and Peter, they had the boldness to speak and declare the gospel. And the Bible says that people came to know Christ. Listen, the devil tried to stop them. He tried to stop them with religious things. He tried to stop them. But the devil will never stop the kingdom of the living God. The devil cannot stop revival. He'll threaten you. He'll give you headaches. I've gone through a lot. Listen, I've been a missionary, I've gone through incredible stuff. But if you stay in obedience to God and you and then tell a dying world, the gospel works. It works in Africa and it works in Fresca. It works in China, it works in Mexico. The gospel works. Why? Because we're not sharing the story of a dead old man. We're sharing the story of a living God who has the power to change lives. And the Bible says they all were glorifying God. That means that God received glory. And that's what we live for. My life, my prayers, God, use my life to bring you glory. Use my life so that one soul can get saved. Two, three, I don't know. But you can save them and he will. People were ministered that day. People were encouraged. People were one. Why? Because there were individuals who said, we're not going to keep our mouth shut. We are going to tell the world what God has done for our lives. I open this sermon with the quote, your story is the key that can unlock someone else's ministry. Listen to me. Your testimony is the key. Your story. Every single one of us have a story. You don't have to be. You know, some people say, well, I wasn't a drug addict. I wasn't either. But I've been touched by God. And I know that if God can touch me, he can help somebody else. And I've seen my brothers, and I've seen sisters, and I've seen people in me. Acts chapter 4, verse 4, a few verses before. However, many of those who heard the word believed. And the number of men that came to be about 5,000. 5,000 people believed. Because Peter and John spoke up. And they spoke to a dying society their testimony. Pastor Greg Mitchell, a couple of conferences ago, in one of his sermons, he said, one witness can trigger a revival. And that's so true. One witness. You never know. Ezekiel. And we know that God sends Ezekiel to preach to a society that was rebellious. And God reminds Ezekiel, you won't speak. Don't look at their faces. In verse 5, God tells them, they will always know that there was a prophet in their midst. They cannot just shake it. A few years ago, when COVID came, the world was turning upside down. We had to shut down in our church. And we were coming, doing live stream. It was all new to me in Spanish service, and I had nothing, no cameras, thank God for Jeremiah being here. I tried to put everything together. I received a phone call, and somebody said, that wasn't even coming to our church. We know a young girl that is dying. They send her to her home to die. Can you go and pray for her? My first question was, what's wrong with her? It's in COVID. It was all fresh. You gotta understand this. So they told me, we don't know. So I'm like, okay, great, hallelujah. All right, so I look at my wife like, well, she might have COVID, we don't know how this works. Let's go and lay hands on her, hallelujah. So we did. We went in, never met this family, knocked on the door, big family, opened the door, and I felt the spirit of death. It was a demon spirit of death in that room, I'll never forget. I go in, she was 23 years old. They sent her to a hospital, hospice to die. There was no hope for her. And her mother and her family, they're Catholics, but they're desperate. They don't have God, a living God, they have a religion. And the mother looks at me like, if you can do anything, I said, listen, I cannot do anything, but God can. And I'm gonna lay hands on your daughter, and that's gonna heal her. We did, me and my wife, we prayed, cast that demon spirit of death out. We went the following week to follow up on her. She was still alive. We prayed again. At one point, I showed up. There were around 30 people, family, in that room. And I got a chance to witness and to do what we do. Here it goes. A few weeks later, I get news. This girl was literally healed. She walked out of that room. She's alive. God's name was glorified. But my intention was, God healed her, but saved them, bring them to church. I bumped into them in Costco one day, and they don't want to come. That was almost 3 years ago. But we do what we do. Can you say amen? We preach. A few Tuesdays ago, I'm preaching. It's a long story. One day I'm going door to door, and I witnessed to a family member of her. This man came to our Spanish service. A few weeks ago, I'm preaching, and here he is. The mother of this lady, after 3 years, she comes to our Spanish service, bows her knees to Jesus Christ, and God glory to be saved. The gospel works. It might not work overnight. That's a problem. We get discouraged. We go out, that's 5,000 of flags. It's like, Lord, where are they? They're all around us. Revival is coming. But we cannot just stop and not share it. We have to tell the world. And in last, the Bible says that God helped them. Verse 31, when they had prayed, the people or the place that they were assembled, it was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word. This is what we need, friends. We need God to breathe on us. My prayer is, God, help us. Help us. Listen to me. God wants to help us. And He will help us. I was talking to Chris Hart the other day in the Spanish service. We're seeing some of our brothers are here. We're seeing something fresh, something. I witnessed to people years ago. They're coming. The other day I had a guy knock on the door in my house. Open the door. He's drunk out of his mind. Like, you a preacher? Yes. Somebody told me to come and you can help me. Okay, come on in. Hallelujah. Brought him in, cast the devil out of him. He got saved. He's been serving God. And last Tuesday, he brought another friend. He took me to a house the other day, put me in front of sinners. Like, hey, can you tell them what's happening to me? Because they don't believe me. Hallelujah. I said, oh, I can. And I will. Hallelujah. Yesterday, we had a Spanish Bible study. We were all at both Spanish Bible studies having a food thing. We had an engineer, all kind of revival food. I'm looking around, man, and I'm seeing this brother that got saved, this sister that got saved, this other man that got saved. That's what we live for. The gospel works. I want every head bowed and every eye closed in reverence before God. I appreciate every soul. I thank you for your attention. I thank you and Anthony Castro for inviting me. So that's a privilege. I haven't preached in this in a while, so hope that I was clear enough to communicate, at least, wasn't so much my words, but I wanted to communicate the spirit of the scriptures here. Before we close today and we'll pray for the help of the Holy Spirit, I want to open these altars or this moment to invite people. Maybe you're here and somebody invited you. And maybe you cannot relate much of having a story or a testimony or sharing what God has done for you. Listen to me. The Bible says that we're all sinners and we're all in need of God's forgiveness. And if you, by faith today, will be willing to repent of your sins, the Bible says we're all sinners, friend. Every one of us, we need His mercy. But the good news is He loves you, God loves you. He cares for you so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross. And this morning, if you will put your trust in Jesus Christ, the Bible says you will be saved. And maybe you're here this morning, you will have a relationship with God, but you are saying, you know what, I need His love, I need His forgiveness. I need to have my own story of miracles. Preacher, you're preaching that God heals and that God touches. I want God to help me. Well, if you want God to help you, you need to surrender your life. You need to be willing to repent. And I want to give you that opportunity right now. You're here today under the sound of my voice. You are not a Christian, but you want to give your life to Jesus Christ this morning. And you would like for me to pray for you. Right where you are, I want you to raise your hand high where God can see it, where I can see it. You say, you know what, preacher? I need His forgiveness. Right now, raise your hand. Raise your hand and let God help you. Maybe you're a backslider. Before you served God, you walked away from God. Today, you need to come back to the cross. Backslider, don't leave it for another day. This is the moment. Right now, raise your hand. Jesus loves you. He wants to help you. He wants to forgive you. Unsaved or backslider, come today to the foot of the cross. Let God restore your life. He will help you quickly in this place. Okay, I want to talk to Christians. I thank you so much for this invitation. I want to encourage you. I don't know where you come from, how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter. Peter and John in our text, they teach us a profound thought. We've been with Jesus, we've seen and heard rhema from heaven. We're going to tell the world what we know. You can do that. You should do that. And God will breathe in you. So I want us to stand. I want us to stand in this place. We're going to sing a song. Our brother's going to help us sing a song. We're going to sing that song one time. And then what we're going to do is we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to anoint us. The Bible says in the book of Acts 4 that it was the Holy Spirit that came and shook up. Like, they were already baptized, but they needed help. We need help. Can you say it? We need help. We cannot do it in our flesh. We cannot. But when God gets involved, the supernatural happens. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you want to God to help you pour out His Spirit. Maybe you need a refreshing of His Spirit. Maybe somehow this is once again stirring the flame that has been burning in you. You know what? I can do something. I don't know what it is, but God used me. If that is you, I want you to come here to the front, stand right here. I know there's a little time, but don't worry about it. We're all men here. Just come. We're going to pray that the Holy Ghost will help us today. I want every head bow. This is between you and God. I believe God is setting us up as a church. I do believe that as a fellowship to bring revival to a world that is lost. And my prayer has been with my wife. I've been praying, God, I want to be part of that revival. I want to just talk about it. I want to see it. I want to taste it. I've done it. I got saved in the 80s. For me, it was the Jesus People Movement in South America. It came late to us. I got saved through that. I remember being in a meeting, 20,000 people around me, healed, people in wheelchairs, walking. I've seen it. Blind eyes, I've seen it. Friends of mine, demon-possessed, delivered by the power of God. My mother was literally a witch. She was dying in a hospital. A pastor came, laid hands. A demon came out in the hospital. God healed my mother. She's still alive 40 years later. I've seen the power of God. I've needed you too. But now God will use our testimony to reach a world that is dying. And the world don't need religious wackos. Can you say amen? They need real Christians. But we can tell, you know what? God is real. I want you to close your eyes. And I'm going to pray right now. I want you to repeat these words. I want you to say, Lord Jesus, fill me once again with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I surrender my life to you. I come against fear and the threats of hell. I bind the voice of the serpent that wants to intimidate me. The blood of Jesus sets me free, gives me power and anointing to preach the gospel to a dying world. In Jesus' name, let's give God praise. If the Holy Spirit is being put in a altar, put your eyes in that altar. And I'm telling you right now, man, if you surrender, God will grab your life, even the broken pieces. He will restore them, but He will use it as a trophy for His glory. And one day, listen, for the Holy Ghost, if you surrender, you're going to look one day on your side, right, left. You're going to see people that they were on their way to hell. You're going to see them at church serving God, raising their hand. And God's going to remind you, because you gave me your heart, I have given you souls. And the devil knows that. He wants to steal that from you. He's doing all kinds of distractions. But I feel the Holy Ghost and God will empower you. Don't say, what can I do? What God can do for you. It's not what you can do, what I can do. It's not what you can do through me. But all God wants is what He told you in the book of Proverbs. Give me your heart. And if He has your heart, He will use you for His glory. You believe that? You willing to surrender? Please raise your hands. Father, by the blood, I pray. Break the curse of hell in fear. Loose your holy meaning, train of life. I pray you fill this man with the Holy Ghost. Fill him with the Holy Spirit. By the blood of Jesus, let's give God praise. We are blessed, we are blessed, we are blessed. By the Holy Ghost, and by the Spirit of the living God. Lord, I ask you for the Spirit of heaven. God's going to pour His Spirit upon your life. He's not done. And you have so much treasure in you to share.
Amen.
Listen to me. God loves you. He cares for you. You have a mouth. Use that for His glory. And you do what God wants to say. He's going to empower your words. He's going to put things in your head. Like, where is that coming from? From the Holy Spirit. To speak up. And once you do that, listen to me. Do not let age and your limitations limit what God can do. God is not limited. He can do anything through anyone, young, teenager, old, it don't matter. People like me, broken English, it don't matter. God is pleased with you. He's going to continue to use you. Father, by the power of the Holy Ghost, touch of my Holy Spirit, encourage my brother, fill him with the Holy Ghost, empowering the Holy Ghost, supernatural words of heaven to touch a dying world by the blood. Give God praise. God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit.
All right, you guys can go back to your seats. Thank you so much, Pastor Galvan, for coming out and ministering. Let's give him a round of applause. know it's early and it's your Saturday, but the sacrifice, I really do appreciate you guys coming out. Let's give all the workers in the kitchen a big hand. And this is the last men's breakfast we have for this season. March is absolutely packed with events, so we'll keep you posted with the announcements. But we'll start this probably back up in October-ish, something like that. But thank you guys for coming out. Matt Sandler, can you close us in prayer?
Father God, we thank you for this time, for all that you are doing in our lives, allowing us to be a part of a people that have been touched by God. Help us to use our testimony to further your work, to further the gospel in this generation, while there is yet still time. Quicken our hearts in Jesus' name.